Good evening. Good to be back. Good to have you with us this evening. If you're visiting, we have some good to be back. Kind of joked with Alan. We got out about 20 minutes early this morning. No, about 10 minutes. I'm sorry. 10 minutes early. 20 after the hour. And, you know, usually when I go long, I say, well, you know, I'll give you your time back tonight. So I'm sure everybody got up and they looked and said, no, we're getting out 10 minutes early. That means he's going to go 10 minutes long. Yeah, Dan, I think Alan said something about you might want to call ahead to Denny's and get for a few moments this evening, we're going to look again at the Gospel of Matthew this evening. 14th chapter, something, it's a scenario of Jesus' life that we are all very much familiar with. He had fed many thousands. He's gone and he's retreated himself. And about verse, I have to look here, get my glasses up where I can see. About verse 23 or so, about 22 and 23, he's fed 5,000, the 5,000 that are numbered men, so he's fed more than that. Immediately, he urged his disciples to get into a boat and go before him to the other side while he was dismissing the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up into the mountain to pray himself. And at evening, he was there all alone. For just a few moments tonight, we're going to look, as I mentioned this morning in this morning's lesson, you know, the bride and the spirit, they say come. And they say come, and they bid us come, because at times in our life we have temptations. At times in our life we have sorrows. This is a situation in Jesus' life that happened. It's something that we know about, but we oftentimes bring this up and rationalize it or put it in the in the box or the circle of the storms of life. Because we're in the boat and we want to know where Jesus is. We're his follower. But we want to know when the storms of life come upon us, what happens to us. And I'm sure this message or something like it has been given here many, many times through the years. But this evening, for a short period of time, we're going to look at about 3, 4, 5 points maybe about the storms of life. Where is Jesus and what does he do when the storms of life come upon us? And in verse 23, that's where we just started and read. Notice, he had given his disciples instructions about what they should do and what they needed to do. And then he retreats and goes by himself alone to pray. I would suggest to you tonight that the very number one thing that happens when the storms of life come upon us is that Jesus is praying and interceding for us. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews the 7th chapter, verse 25, we find that Jesus lives at this point in time to make intercession for us, his followers. He prays for us. We find in John the 17th chapter, which is really, if you really want to call it something, you really call it the Lord's Prayer. It was at least one of the prayers that he prayed, or a summation of it that John gives in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was betrayed. And as that takes place, if you'll notice, who he prays for? He prays for his disciples. He prays for his followers then. And not only then, but he also prays for the future disciples who would follow after them. When the storms of life come upon us, Jesus is interceding for us. We can go to Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 26, and we can find that the Holy Spirit, He intercedes on our behalf as well, and that when we pray and we don't know the words to use, in whatever way, shape, or form, that's taken care of on the eternal side of the question. But the Son, the mediator between God and man, our Savior Jesus Christ, lives to make intercession for his followers. So when the storms of life are about to come upon you, remember that Jesus is making intercession for us. Verse 24, already the boat, miles from land, was being pitched by the waves, for the wind was contrary. In the later part of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea or walking on the water. When you're in a boat and the storms come, you're in the boat of your life and the storms come, notice where Jesus is. He comes to his disciples. He comes to their aid. He just doesn't leave them in a boat. In fact, you go to the Gospel of Mark and you can see where Jesus sees them, that they're struggling. And he goes to them. He goes to them because he knows that they need him. Now, we all have medical issues from time to time. Now, Bonnie had some this summer in June. I told her she ruined my last break. That was a joke. And we had a lot of people that came to visit us in the hospital. Danny Linden, Harry Dan, a lot of others that call, catch up. Art kept calling and waking me up, which is fine. Bonnie answered my phone. She was awake. I was asleep. I never saw Jesus walk in the door. Never saw him come in. But I knew that there were other disciples, and he was using them to help minister to us in a special way. Sometimes, I won't say, you know, you feel his presence, but sometimes you can pray and feel the peace. I feel that only you can get from the other side. That's me. May not be you, but it's me. Jesus understands when we struggle with life. He understands when we need his help. And he's there for us. If you have your New Testaments and you have them open, please turn over to the book of Hebrews for just a moment. This will be the only time that we leave Matthew 14. So just kind of maybe stick your finger there and turn over to Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer writes in verse 5 and 6, "Do not be greedy, but be content with what you have. For he himself has promised, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Therefore may we boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not be afraid. What will a man do to me?" Jesus and the Lord understands when we're going through the storms of life, when we're going through the struggles, and when we need the help. The story continues on. When the disciples saw him, Jesus, walking on the water, they were alarmed, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. And at once he calmed them, saying, "Be of good courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter spoke out, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus answered the word we concentrated on this morning, "Come." And then Peter stepped down out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he went towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink. And as he was sinking, he cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me. Deliver me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, and he took hold of him, saying, "Man of little faith, why did you doubt?" And this verse is kind of a wonderful little place, because we're going to look at this same verse in the Gospel of John just in a minute. They stepped into the boat and the wind ceased. And those in the boat, the disciples, fell at his feet and they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." When the storms of life come, Jesus will pray for me. Jesus will come to me. Jesus will help me grow. He will help me grow. You know, Peter gets a... You know, I think all the disciples, as we read the gospel accounts, I think they all kind of get shellacked, because we think, man, if we were there, Man, if we were there, if I was Judas, I'd have never made that deal. And here's Peter. Peter, we give Peter his fair share too. There have only been two people that ever walked on water, and Peter was one of them. And to get out of that boat took a great bit of faith. And when he saw the storms and began to see, we know from the entire account that he really took his eyes off the prize. He took his eyes off Jesus. And he looked around at what was going on about him. And he lost focus probably of what he needed to focus on, Jesus. And when the storms of life come to us, a lot of times we take our eyes off Jesus because we're cluttered around and we have the waves beating at our feet. And we're out there walking on the water with Jesus. He will help us grow. You go to, I don't believe it's any coincidence that it is the same apostle, Peter, who in 2 Peter, the first chapter, talked about the Christian virtues. He said, add to your faith knowledge, to your knowledge virtue, to your virtue self-control, to your self-control discipline, or perseverance. And he sums it up. He says, if these qualities are in you and they are, if they're advancing or they're growing, that you'll never come up short. That's from the man who got out of the boat and focused on the Savior instead of the storms. There in a verse of, let me flip a page here. There in the verse of 32, it says, they stepped into the boat and the wind ceased. And those in the boat fell at his feet and they said, truly, you are God's Son. Truly, you are the Messiah. If you would, we're just about through with this lesson, but if you would, please turn to the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, verse 31. This is John's account of this same scenario. I don't think chapter 7 will do. John 6, verse 31. And, 21. And in verse 16, we have the same scenario. The evening came, the disciples went out, they entered the boat, they're going out across the sea, the darkness has already come, but Jesus was not with them yet. A strong wind was blowing, the sea was growing rough. And verse 19, and after they rowed about 3.5 hours, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, and he came near the boat, and they were afraid. He said to them, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, Peter's account of Peter walking on the water is left out of this. But I want you to see what John adds to when they get into the boat. Okay? Peter gets out, he walks on the water, he looks around, he sees storms of life beating on him. He starts to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. And Jesus lifts up his hand, he says, little person of faith, little man of faith, why did you doubt? And notice, then they get into the boat. Notice what happens to the boat. They were wanting to receive him into the boat, but immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. It's the only gospel that makes that declaration. Every other gospel focuses on Peter. But the entire story is that when they get into the boat, they recognize him and say, well, you're the Messiah. You're God's Son. Then all of a sudden, after 3 hours of work, when they realize who Jesus is, guess where they are? They're at the land. Jesus prays for me. When the storms of life come, Jesus prays for me. Jesus comes to me. Jesus will help me grow. And Jesus will get me to a safe place. Jesus will get me to a safe place. We don't need to overlook that. The disciples, they're out on the sea. And they're not feeling very safe. But in this scenario, once the lessons have been taught, where do they find themselves? They find themselves by the seashore where they're going. Hmm. So when the storms of life come upon us, we need to remember that it's Jesus that can take us to a safe place. It's probably why Psalm 23 is such a wonderful psalm for so many Christians. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me, He takes care of me, He feeds me. But there's that couplet in there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why? Because He's the good shepherd. And He's going to pray for you. And if He's going to come to you, and if He's going to help you grow, He'll see you safely home. That's what we want from a Messiah. Someone that will see us safely home in the storms of life. It's a short lesson tonight. Thank you for your patience. As always, I think Bill should get credit. Maybe he needs to trademark this. I understand LeBron is trademarking Taco Tuesday, so maybe Bill needs to trademark. Looks like we have the best of the best here tonight. We have the best of the best, but it's because we're worshiping the best. And I would urge you tonight, realize that the storms will come. If you're going to pay the cost to follow Jesus, the storms will come, and that's okay. Because ultimately, He intercedes for us. He comes to us. He helps us grow. And where we can fail each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus will never fail. And He will see you safe and home. We'll do all that we can as your brothers and sisters. But never take your focus or your eyes off Jesus. Because that's where it needs to be. It doesn't need to be on the elders. It doesn't need to be on the song leader. It doesn't need to be on the deacons. It doesn't need to be on a good sister or someone who's always been there. Focus needs to be on Jesus. Because Jesus is the only one that will never fail you in life. This evening, Alan's picked the invitation song. The water is prepared. Anyone who might have a need for baptism, put Christ on. Maybe you're not a disciple tonight. If you're not, and you wish to become one, you wish to be a follower of Jesus, water, all things are ready. If you have placed Christ on in baptism and you are a New Testament Christian and you need the prayers of the church because you're going through the storms of life, there's so many things that we need to be in prayer for. Whether you come down front or not, we have so many things that we need to be prayerful about. I think Lindsay's having surgery this week. We have Mary over here going through a stage in life. We have Miss Nelda in the hospital. There's so many things that we can be in prayer for. Those who've lost loved ones, those who are traveling. Some of those are two in the same. But we can always find time to pray. But when we fail to find time individually, something that we need to remember, Jesus still intercedes for us. This evening, if you need the Lord in any way, in any spiritual concern, please make it known while together we stand and while we sing.
Voice of Jesus, say, come unto me.